Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm Tassian Kwamalele, co-chair of the OFCY Commission or Coalition Committee. I'm sorry, it's been a long day. So we will call this meeting to order at 6:02, and we will begin with a roll call. I'm going to go off just the participants I see that are here. So I have Member Ivy Rose,
Yep, I'm here.
Bill Riley,
Present.
Ana Karita Allen,
Present.
Peter Lay,
Present.
and I think that is it that I see. And then I see our staff. We have Interim Director Mike Wotes, Scott Kim, and Michael Munson. So again, thank you all. So right at this time, you can review the agenda. As you can see, the items we have on our schedule. And then we will go to roll call, I mean, open forum. So this is open forum. Please, you have 2 minutes to speak. Please raise your hand if you are logging into our meeting on a cell phone. Please press star 9, and then we will elevate you to a panelist to speak. I do not see any hands that have been raised. So we will go on to item number 3, which is adoption of the OFCY continuing resolution to continue conducting POC meetings by teleconference due to COVID.
Yeah, this is Bill Riley. I'd like to move that item number 3.
So do we have a second?
I second
the motion.
Who's that second the motion?
I think a few of us did, but
Okay.
this is up. Yeah.
All right, so
This
we'll
is
take
Bobby.
you. It was moved by Bill Riley, second by Ivy. I guess we will call for just a vote. So Bill Riley,
Yes.
Ana Karita Allen.
Yes.
Ivy Rose,
Yes.
Peter Lay,
Yes.
and yes for Tassian Kwamalele. And so that has been adopted. Going to agenda item number 4, which is approval of the prior meeting minutes from our January 19th meeting. They were sent out earlier this week, and it's as well posted on our site. So I'll give the people a few seconds to review them. And if there are any changes or amendments that need to be made, please let us know that now. Otherwise, after reviewing them, I'll look for a motion to adopt these minutes.
Madam Chair, I read the minutes of the 19th. This is Bill Riley. I move approval.
Thank you, Member Riley. Do I have a second?
This is Avi. I'll second it.
Thank you, Avi. I'm not sure, Mike. Do I need to call for a vote for these as well?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, we'll go down the roll again, calling for this vote. So, Bill Riley.
Yes.
Ivy Rose,
Yes.
Ana Karita Allen,
I'll abstain just because I wasn't there last time.
noted. Tassian Kwamalele, yes, and Peter Lay.
I will abstain as well since I wasn't at this meeting.
Okay, so that is recorded as 3 ayes and 2 abstentions. And thank you for that. And we are moving right along. We are going to review item 4, which is review of mid-year program progress towards performance benchmark. So I will turn this over to OFCY staff.
Great, thank you. This is Mike Wetzel. I'm acting manager here at OFCY. We've prepared a brief briefing for you on mid-year program progress. The agenda packet contains three documents. One is this OFCY grant renewal policy. Wanted to share this with you. This has been our policy during the last 3-year grant cycle. It lays out the benchmarks that we look for program progress quarterly. Our main time frames to review program progress is at the 6 month period and at the annual review. At 6 months, we are able to do a data pool from our CitySpan data management system on grantee work. They do quarterly reports. Our grantees report quarterly to us. So after their second quarterly report, we're able to review the data and compare their progress towards their projected service levels. OFCY benchmarks all programs for their performance based on two main factors, one being the annual enrollment targets that they have for the number of children, youth, or parents and caregivers that they expect to serve over the course of the year, and benchmark against hours of service or units of service, which is a calculation based on your enrollment and the expected participation per session for your clients that are enrolled. So the performance for enrollment is based on the annual projection. Again, my program, Mike Wetzel's program, is expected to serve 100 young people during the year. At midpoint, we are expecting programs to have enrolled at least 40% of that annual target. We know that there's differences in program models, and some programs are able to reach that their enrollment targets very quickly in the year, while other programs might backload services towards quarters 2, 3, and 4. So it is a benchmark, but there are some variations based on program models. For units of service or hours of service, every program projects their service activities every quarter. So we are able to benchmark the progress towards their projected hours of service by quarter fairly accurately based on what they proposed to be doing. OFCY expects programs to achieve at least 80% of their target for minimum satisfactory performance. If it's below 80% of their target, we work to follow up the programs to understand the reasons for their shortfall and work with them to make plans for either adjusting their scope of work or corrections to their programming to try to boost their numbers. So that's just the general overview of the program performance to kind of give some context to the next couple of reports. This one pager is the mid-year results-based accountability results. It's prepared by our independent evaluation team, Social Policy Research Associates. And during this three-year grant cycle, they've shifted their evaluation to try to look in a results-based accountability framework on program impact. And this is based on council direction to have a simpler view of what it is that OFCY is funding and how do we demonstrate impact in the community. So this scorecard or matrix here provides a snapshot at mid-year of how much programs have accomplished, program quality, how well programs have done, what programs have done, and then participant outcomes to determine is anyone better off. So for program achievements and accomplishments at this point, midway, halfway through the year, the 149 programs funded by OFCY have reached 14,165 children and youth, and they have engaged 1,379 parents and caregivers in services. To date, over 1.7 million hours of service have been provided through the programs funded by OFCY. Over 1,153 young people, older youth, have been placed in jobs or internships, gaining nearly 100,000 hours of work experience. Young people in those programs, in the workplace work experience programs, have earned over $1.2 million through their participation in the programs. So overall, OFCY funds 77 agencies that delivers 149 programs, and these are broken down by after-school parent support programs, early childhood programs, family resource centers, community programs, summer programs, and the youth workforce programs. Overall, 57 elementary and middle schools receive in-school support programming from OFCY funding, and 12 high schools as well. For the next section, program quality and participant outcomes, the two of those, these are drawing on survey results that the evaluation team conducts with our programs. Overall, most programs field surveys at this time of year, in March. They engage young people throughout the course of the year, and we do one program survey towards the end of their participation to get data on their experience and what they've accomplished in their time working the program. These survey results come from the summer programs. So OFCY funds programs that operate in summer, including the summer youth workforce programs. So this is only a small snapshot of the totality of our programming. When there is the year-end report, you know, it's much more of a robust report and a lot more detail will be provided. But overall, this survey results do show overwhelming positive outcomes achieved by young people and by programs. Total hours of service, most programs are able to make progress towards their goals. 91% of youth report that they feel safe in the programs. 84% of youth report that there's at least one adult in the program that cares about them. 88% of the programs of the youth in programs respond that they're interested in the program. And these are very positive results, very highly regarded outcomes when youth are feeling this level of attraction and affinity towards their programs. The final area, youth leader, is the participant outcomes does go through more goal-oriented outcomes. So youth in the youth workforce programs, 90% of youth say that they did learn about jobs that they can have in the future due to their participation. 93% of youth learned what to expect in a workplace setting. So again, these are very positive outcomes at midpoint that youth are reporting that they have achieved. And this is just to provide, you know, a quick, short snapshot across the 149 programs of some mid-year accomplishments. The next section that we have, excuse me as I toggle, is this is a report, the mid-year program accomplishment report is also prepared by Social Policy Research Associates. It, again, is a snapshot of data from our CitySpan data management system pulled after quarter one, quarter two reporting, and it looks at program participation according to those benchmarks we discussed earlier of their enrollment and their hours of service achieved. Overall, I'd say programs are making strides towards their annual goals. There are areas where programs have been, I'd say shortfalls are in most shortfalls I've seen are in the units of service category throughout programs. And this is most pronounced in the after-school strategy at this point. Working with our programs at midpoint, we've identified that overall, the reason for shortfalls, I don't think will be a surprise to anybody, but programs are reporting that COVID has been the major factor inhibiting their success in terms of enrollment engagement, especially this, the hours of service. For many programs that have adopted to providing virtual services over the last year and a half, that are still providing some virtual services, they are not achieving the hours of service that they initially projected back when they applied for funding. And it's been a struggle for them to achieve the level and the volume of services that they were able to achieve pre-COVID days. We are seeing, you know, a larger number than usual of programs that have lower units of service and a pretty small proportion of programs that weren't able to achieve their enrollment goals. At the midpoint, only about 5% of programs were short on their enrollment targets. There were about 6% or low on enrollment and their units of service targets. And for these programs that are struggling in both areas, our grant managers are reaching out to them to set up visits and conversations to discuss reasons for their shortfalls. And as I said earlier, the main area where we're seeing shortfalls this grant year is the ability for programs to hit their projected hours of service. The report, you know, it does go through each of the 9 funding strategies where we are at midpoint. So you're able to look at programs and their ability to reach their targets across the 9 strategies. For the program serving early childhood, they will also provide the youth served as well as the adults served. So you can look at what's the projected number of young people to be served as well as the projected adults to be served in hours of service. And for our programs in the comprehensive after school area, the report provides the average daily attendance, the actual average daily attendance for the program. And this is an after school program. It's one of the major benchmarks that state funding also looks at. And it's the expected over the course of the year, how many young people each day are in your program. That's your average daily attendance. We look on a rough average is about 83 students a day are expected to attend after school programming. And with that, I would say the summer program strategy is the one strategy and that you'll see is benchmarked against annual performance because as a summer program, they only operate for those 4 months in summer. And so those programs are benchmarked at the 80% expected enrollment. And they were, I think all 10 of the programs in summer were able to achieve their hours of service. 3 of the 10 were below their targeted enrollment goals for the year. And then for the career awareness strategy, the report also adds in a column where they are benchmarking, or not, no benchmark, but they're providing data on the percentage of youth that are receiving at least 10 hours of work experience. And again, knowing that some programs don't really start their internship placements until later in the year, some of them, the work experience occurred at the start of this grant year, because it's a July 1 start date, but it's 10 hours of service is 10 hours of work experience is a kind of a benchmark that they're getting at least a substantial amount of workplace exposure. And as you can see, most of the programs were able to provide youth with at least 10 hours of service. Again, this report is just a quick snapshot. The full evaluation report that we provide to you in October, which was, I believe, adopted a couple months, where we're going to bring to City Council in the next few weeks, is a much more robust report that goes to the fund level accomplishments, deep dive into the strategy accomplishments, and a full sense of the programs through program profiles across the 149 agencies or 149 programs. With that, that's really the end of my presentation here and happy to take questions from the POC.
Okay, do we have any questions from any members? If so, please feel free to jump in.
Yeah, this is Avi. I've got a question, Mike. It's about COVID, because it's not surprising that a number of programs weren't able to hit their targets, and I'm wondering, and it sounds like staff is engaging with them, but I'm curious how that reflects on their track record when the next round of the next round of proposals are being considered. You know, how they've been able to adapt or what obstacles that they have and so on. It just seems kind of complicated. So curious what you have to say about that.
Yeah. Well, we've worked with programs like since shelter in place happened in March, 2 years ago when it first hit. We've been working with programs to allow modifications on their grant at a level that was above what our prior policy was. So we did allow programs in year one to make adjustments in March to the program design, knowing that most of them had to shut down and shift. Year two, last fiscal year, we allowed programs to do projections on a short-term basis, not even the full 12 months, but to, it's so hard for programs to project out what would be feasible and possible and what the situation on the ground was, and really had a lot of flexibility in the program design. And then now in the third year, once programs started up their contract again, we work with them to allow them to revise their program design yet again at the start of the third year, based on their experience over the last year and 3 months that they had operating programs. So when they started this program year, they were able to propose different program design than they proposed in 1920. Many of them took advantage of this, and you know, I'd say nearly all of them have revised their programming to reflect virtual services, reduction in hours of service, and many of them reduced numbers of youth to be served. Even with that, programs aren't hitting their targets for hours of service. And a lot of it is still the uncertainty in programming and the changes. So when programming started this year, we're back in session at the beginning of the year, but there's still a lot of uncertainty about levels of service that programs could provide, hours of service. So our program, our grant managers, definitely were working with programs in quarter one after review of their performance to allow them to make adjustments for quarter two and to allow them to make adjustments even now for quarter three. Programs aren't able to make modifications after quarter three as we're getting to the last 3 months of the grant period. After March, at the end of March, programs were not able to make adjustments. All that to say is that we know the performance is low, but it is based on programs' best estimates of what they could accomplish in the current situation, in the current atmosphere that they're in. And I still think that we will take this data and share it with you as we go through the review process for the past performance. And we need to take it with a huge amount of acknowledgement of the hard work that they're able to do, and that actuals and projections, the percentage may be low, but to look at the actual number that they were able to achieve as an accomplishment. Because I agree, we don't want to punish programs for the difficulties that they faced with the ever-changing landscape and the difficulties of providing services in person, on site, and the difficulty with keeping families and children and youth engaged in virtual services. So I do think that these numbers are useful data, and the benchmarking process is a useful process, but that the POC should really consider the circumstances on the ground when programs are delivering services and understand the challenges that they faced and the ability to achieve even a revised and reduced scope of work in this this atmosphere.
Noted. Thank you, Mike. And great question, Abby. Are there any other questions from POC members? If not, we'll move forward. I don't see any hands raised, so we'll move forward to item number six, the briefing of the OFCY request for proposals for FY 22-25.
Great, and just want to make sure that there's no members of the public that want to comment on performance. I know sometimes it takes a second in this virtual world to find that raise hand function. Yeah, it looks like there's no.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll jump into this one too. Our the OFCY RFP was released in January, and applications were due on Tuesday, February 22nd at 5 p.m. Our proposals, we OFCY was able to receive, this is a quick summary that's on your screen right now of the proposals received. OFCY received applications from 246 programs for submitted applications by deadline. That is a number which is a high volume. Currently, OFCY is funding 149 programs, but it is relatively consistent with prior years. Within that, there are 139 distinct agencies that applied for funding. OFCY currently is supporting, so it's a 77 agencies. So I do see that as a positive sign that the application process, OFCY is committed to an open and fair application process. We did try to do a lot of outreach to spread the word ahead of the application, as well as hosting technical assistance trainings and provider trainings prior to the deadline. I do think just by nature of receiving 139 various agencies applying for funding, that is a success. There's a breakdown there that overall, 128 of those agencies were nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit agencies, so about 92%. We got proposals from six different government agencies, and we had proposals from five fiscally sponsored initiatives. A fiscally sponsored initiative is like a nonprofit program that doesn't have its IRS 501c3 status yet, or they may have their status, but they're contracting with another fiscally sponsored nonprofit to manage their administrative and fiscal capacity while they would be doing the direct programming work. So out of those 246 applications, in the RFP, there's three different application types: single agency applications, and that means one agency applying and that they will be the one providing the direct services predominantly. They could also subcontract out and have consultants to deliver a portion of the work, but single agency applicant will be doing the majority of the programming themselves. So 84% of the applications, or 206, were from single agencies. We received 25, or 10% of the applications, were from small and emerging agencies. And these are agencies with an annual program budget of $500,000 or below that. The application allowed small and emerging applicants to apply for funding with additional funds for indirect costs and able to use in-kind funds for matching, and had lower audited financial statement requirements. They were able to submit a profit and loss and balance sheet rather than an audited financial statement to make it easier for them to apply. And then collaborations are, that's when there's three or more agencies working together on our project, with all three of them receiving funds, the lead agency receiving no more than 60% of the funds, and that all of them are providing direct service work in support of a goal. Collaborations are able to apply for a larger grant amount. The grant cap for collaborations was raised up to $500,000 in this application process. For single agencies, the maximum grant allowance was $250,000, and for small and emerging, it was $125,000. So 15 of our proposals that received, or 6%, were from collaborations. Total funding requested is $37.8 million. So that's a substantial amount of money. The RFP and strategic plan projected that there's $18 million available for funding. So we received nearly $20 million in requests above what is available for funding. And that means it's highly competitive, and there'll be some tough decisions down the road in the grant selection. because there are many qualified quality agencies that have applied, but the funding is limited. Next slide. This slide shows that breakdown I was just discussing of the funds projected that are in the RFP. And this is from the strategic plan where we bucketed out dollar amounts by goal area and strategy area. The RFP provided more detail on expected minimum amount and maximum amount of funds per strategy available. So this is just a breakdown to show the amount expected compared to the amount requested from agencies. So for example, the first strategy, social emotional well-being in early childhood, the RFP projected about $500,000 to $600,000 available for funding. OFSOI received 12 proposals requesting $1.6 million in funding. So $1 million in excess above what is available. It is highly competitive, the funds we are seeing. You know, some areas are very, I say, not the right word right here, but impacted by the number of proposals received compared to the funds available. For example, youth leadership and development. OSUI currently funds 35 agencies, and we're projected that between 3.95 and 4.05 million is available for that strategy. Well, 69 proposals were received requesting 11.8 million. So 7.8 million in excess of funds available. So this is, just to reiterate, it's gonna be very competitive and some hard decisions to select programs, knowing that there's a lot of need in the community and a lot of quality nonprofit and government agencies doing work to serve Oakland's children and youth, but only limited funds to support them. So this slide, this is a reiteration of the funding selection process, and we've reviewed this at the POC before. I wanted to bring it back to you as well, just to keep everyone grounded in our process. This is also spelled out in the request for proposal as well as in our RFP. So all applicants are aware of what steps will be taken from the application to the grant selection. As I said before, proposals had to be submitted by deadline February 22nd by 5 p.m. Also, I would only consider applications received online by deadline. Our application process was entirely through CitySpan data system, so an online application. The next step is a staff technical review. So last week, our team reviewed the 246 proposals for completeness and accuracy. We are now in the process of needing to disqualify a handful of applicants that did submit incomplete or partial or non-compliant applications. Some of it could be that they applied in a strategy, for example, applied for in the comprehensive after-school strategy where the strategy requires that programming is only at school sites where 50% of the students receive free reduced price meals, and they may apply at a school where the school has a population that is lower than that threshold. So all proposals that go past the staff technical review will then go to the next round, which is a reader scoring. That is starting right now. We have recruited nearly 50 individuals from the community to help out in read proposals. We have people with familiarity with Oakland and expertise in the strategy areas to help us review and score proposals. We are looking to have a minimum 2 reads per proposal. Some strategy areas, we will have 3 reviews to provide a better average if we can. We take the average of the reviewer scores and develop a ranking based on that by strategy area. At that point, our City of Oakland's Department of Workplace and Employment Standards, their Contracts and Compliance Division, will have completed their review of the applications, and they do award additional preference points for agencies who apply for it based on their years of experience in Oakland or years of work in Oakland and the percentage of their program or agency staff that are Oakland residents. So they're able to receive a few bonus points. We add that to the average, and we will move all programs that receive a score of 70 and above to the next phase. And the next phase is the POC review committee that will need to be established today. To me, I have down here April 12th to April 14th. These dates are flexible. I want to work with the subcommittee members on dates that work for them. But this is a very intensive process where I look to you as the leaders here to provide direction on funding decisions. Again, we'll provide you a ranking of the proposals reviewed by strategy area, so you could see the average scores that they have, but we also look to provide you with the information on location of services, where the children, youth, or families to be served are residing, the projected numbers of people to be served, the projected hours of service, the race, ethnicity, and gender of participants, and information on past performance for current grantees who have reapplied. During the subcommittee, as you're reviewing, you'll see the first example of social emotional well-being, how the funding is $1 million in excess of the funding proposed. We looked at you'd be able to use the equity framework that was developed in the strategic plan and that was included in the RFP to make decisions on a fair and balanced and equitable funding packet. And that means the consideration for the equity principles of centering the funds to support Black African-American residents in Oakland, supporting Latinx families, funding support for Pacific Islander families, geographical consideration for funding in East, West, and Central Oakland, and support for particularly vulnerable populations, including foster youth and foster system, homeless youth, youth experiencing homelessness, commercially sexually exploited children, LGBTQ plus children and youth, and more. So we do look that you're able to make at the subcommittee level, make a very informed decision on the funding per strategy based on funding available, and then bring that to the full POC for approval. We'd like to have that meeting, probably be a special meeting, April 22nd, where we can bring the full funding packet to you as a group to make decision on the funding. At that stage as well, we'd look that you could use the equity framework in consideration of the recommendations. So we have a very strong funding package for the $18 million available to bring to Oakland City Council. So after your approval of a funding package, the next step for staff is to write an agenda report, discuss the process, and bring it to City Council for their approval in May. Our goal is to have it approved at least by the end of May, if we can't move it sooner, for summer programs, that may be a possibility to split out the summer programs and seek approval sooner. But in totality, we look to have the approval by May 31st, council date, to then work with programs and contracting and get programs up and running by July 1, 2022 for the next fiscal year, and June 1 for the summer programs. This is pulled from our RFP as well. This is how this is the scoring of the proposal. So as I said, we're having nearly 50 reviewers going through the proposals now, and they will be scoring each of the proposals based on the five main sections of the application. So when people applied, they submitted information, narrative questions, plus data on their agency history and capacity, their population and geography. They discussed their program design and activities to be provided. They provided information on the staffing that will be the direct staff and their qualifications to lead the work, and provide a very detailed budget as well as matching funds that would be able to support the project and to justify justify why the budget that they proposed is commensurate to the volume and level of services that they look to achieve. And I believe that may be the last slide there, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
Net.
Okay. Awesome.
I know it's a lot of information, but we're all excited as staff here now that the proposals are in to be able to really just move to the next process and looking at working with you on grant selection. And this is the time when the POC is probably the most engaged over the 3-year course of the cycle is the spring and the months ahead.
Yeah. I do have a comment, but I'll hold and see if any of my other committee members have comments. Seeing that I see no hand, then we'll open it up to the public. If there are those in the audience that would like to speak, please raise your hand so that we can prepare to call on you. I guess I would say I'm definitely excited about this process. It is one of the most exciting times when serving on the POC. Please try to bear with me as I connect the lines. So, I mean, just in a meeting, council meeting last night, one of the things that came up in that meeting was it was dealing with contracting and making sure that we're being fair and equitable with how we select contractors, ensuring that we're diversifying our pool, and it was specifically speaking to the lack of Black contractors that usually are selected for jobs and or for RP with the city. And so looping that into our process and, you know, our updated mission statement and goals, just, you know, especially for the POC members that are going to serve on the review committee, just, you know, really encouraging staff, really encouraging us all to really ensure that we are not only looking at history, but also looking at like results in one in organizations that truly have an impact to that are able to really support our children the way that we need them to. I think being if you've gotten OFCY funding for 15 years shouldn't automatically just walk you in the door. However, the impact that you've been able to have over that 15 years should definitely be something that we really put a lot of heavy weight on. Also, as we talked about with diversifying location and ensuring that we are really able to touch on a lot of the young people that we know need the most help. As you mentioned, Mike, there's over $20 million in funding requested than what we're able to give. So I think that's just even more of a reason why I think you know, all of us are busy and pulled a different way, but we really have to dig in and ensure that organizations that are able to really do the work and have the structure in place to really serve our kids the way that they need to are able to get the funding that they deserve. So I'll end my comments there and definitely excited to really start this review process and thankful to all those that applied.
You raise some excellent points, Tassion. And I say I've done this for a few years now, and one of the struggles is in an open and fair process, trying to really encourage new proposals, new agencies, small and emerging ones to apply, while we also have our current grantees who have been doing the work for many years, and having that balance to make a funding decision at the end is a challenge. And we do look to the POC to really have a lot of direction on the ultimate decisions for programming to be supported.
Yeah. Are there any attendees that wanted to comment? If so, please raise your hand. Otherwise, we will move forward in our agenda. And I don't see any hands raised. Yes, I do. Ana Karita.
Yes. So I just had a question. Do we select the review committee from the PLC yet?
No, we have not. Are you interested in serving?
I am.
Yay! Okay. I feel like I needed one more person, so.
Right, and Tassian and Dwayne will be ex-officio members as the co-chairs. And since we have only a committee, we're such a small committee of 9 people, we could only have a maximum of 4 on the subcommittee. Otherwise, we'll have, if you have 5, it's a quorum of the full POC.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's great, Anakrita. I know Anakrita has mentioned it, and Avi had noted to me that he would also like to participate on that committee as well. And I'm assuming that still stands.
Yeah, I'm willing to do it. But yeah, if you want to see perfect. Other folks want to also. Yeah, sure.
I think the only other person, and Mike, you can correct me if I'm not sure if Pecolia had mentioned participating. But she's not here tonight. So I can check in with her after, but I think Anakrita and Avi, it's totally fine for you both to serve.
That would be great.
All righty. Well, thank you for that report, Mike. We will move forward with agenda item number 7, which is our administrative matters. So general announcements and notes about any upcoming meetings.
Well, upcoming meetings, our next April meeting, I would look to push that back to the end of the month. And that meeting would be for you to receive the subcommittee's recommendations. So the target date I had in the slide was April 22nd as a special meeting date.
April 22nd?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that works for the group. That's a Friday, so it's not our normal Wednesday day, but that would give staff enough time to develop, hopefully, you know, in a robust memo agenda.
This is 6 p.m. meeting, Mike.
We could move it to 5 if you'd like, as a special meeting.
Not a Friday, Mike. I'm sorry.
And we can move it to another date. It could be held the...
we do that Monday or something. We
could move it to that Monday.
What's your deadline?
Well, the deadline is enough time to craft. The deadline that we need to do.
Bill, can you mute your line? Okay.
After your POC approval, we do have an appeals process. So if there are programs that aren't recommended, then they feel that there is an unjust, unfair reason for them not to be recommended for funding, there is a 2-week appeal process that we build in to May. But really the timing is to get on the city council agenda for hopefully mid to end May. So there is a couple days flexibility there in our planning.
So
April 25th.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I think it's great. I would think, I don't know if we have, I just say, you know, Fridays, not just if we had to do it on a Friday, I'd make it work. You know, just people usually check out by Friday. And so I would prefer, and we want to ensure that if there are any attendees or potential awardees or organizations that would want to come, that they would be able to get on. So we can move it potentially to a Monday, that following Monday, if that would work for everyone, which is the 25th. I think that would be better suited.
Yeah, but I think that Monday the 25th would work. I like that better than a Friday.
Yeah.
That works for staff.
Perfect.
You raise a good point about the weekend. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, members, let's please mark our calendars for our April meeting will be moved to the 25th. And I know that Caitlin will most likely send out a calendar invite so we can all mark it on there. But that'll be an important meeting, especially if we'll be hearing about from our recommendation from the subcommittee meeting. So,
Yes. And I'd say those meetings traditionally have gone long, and you will have a lot of public interest and input at that meeting. So I would imagine you may need the full 3 hours that we have on our agenda.
Well, grab your coffee, everyone.
All right, 2-4-1. Then the second meetings I had April 12th, 13th, and 14th for the subcommittee. I know Tassian, Anacrita, and Avi just need to work with you on dates for that. This is an ad hoc subcommittee. It means it's formed and then will dissolve after the work is done. And we can meet at a schedule that best fits your schedule. So it doesn't necessarily have to be at 6 o'clock. It could be earlier. I just need to know and work with you.
Sorry, my cat is loud. Can we take time offline to maybe determine what the best schedule is for all of us?
We could do that, and we could send some email and that some works potential for dates and times. And
okay. That would be great.
Right. And the week before that is OUSD spring break. So I know many people may be out of town that week. But you know what we look to do as staff is that we complete our review and, again, provide you really substantive data sets for each strategy area to give you a comprehensive view of the proposals received and able to make some good decisions out of those meetings, and give us as staff a few days there to prepare again the materials for the 25th.
Okay. That sounds great.
I have one general announcement to share is that our Director of Human Services, Sarah Bedford, has announced that she will be retiring or resigning from the agency at the end of April. And she's been leading human services for, say, maybe 10 years now. I think she's been at the helm. So it'll be a big transition for our department that we work under, right at the time when we are doing very difficult decision-making work. But I really want to publicly just thank her for her time. I know she's been really active with me in the last 3 months as acting manager to support me in my work, and has a very strong interest in this process and a strong commitment to seeing that we are using the equity framework to make funding decisions that reflect the priorities and goals of the city. So thank you, Sarah.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Sarah, for your service. Well, that would actually bring us to agenda item number 8, which is 6:56, and it will be our official adjournment for March meeting for the PLC. So thank you all for attending, and thank all the members for being here tonight, and we will resume again on the 25th.
Is that at 6 o'clock?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Night.